Amen. I'm Bruce Leonard, one of the elders here, and I will be sharing with you today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have this time together. We thank you that we have this opportunity to open your word and to, again, hear you, Lord. It's all about you, and we just want you to be glorified and lifted up in every way. We thank you that you would even include us to be a part today as we gather in your name, again, to honor you, Lord. And I just thank you for each one here, and many things are going on. A lot of people are traveling, Lord. Be with them and their families, and may they each be a testimony for you, no matter where they're at, as we continue this journey down a life that you have prepared beforehand. And we thank you for it, and we look forward to today and how we can honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is short. There we go. Pastor's been teaching in John 15, and he's been talking about to the disciples, preparing them to be strong, to abide in him, and to prepare for the Holy Spirit that is coming into their lives as he would soon be leaving. They didn't keep in mind, they really didn't understand what was going on. They were somewhat confused, which you can get by their questions that they were asking, like, where are you going to go, and can we go with you? And it was very intense time, because they didn't know what was going to happen next. But he wanted them to remain and abide in an intimate, enduring relationship with himself, that's Jesus, and to trust in God, you know. And if we have seen and known him, we would know that he and the Father are one, like in John 14:10. He says, believe, I am in the Father is in me. Again, they were very confused. What? How? What? How does this work? This is all to give them the confidence and the understanding of what was coming next, to trust to what was going to happen to Jesus. And soon, what would happen to the disciples? They would need this background. They would need this understanding. They would need this trust to follow through with their own testimonies. And this would be their testimony of Jesus after he had departed. Let's look at John 15:26. John 15:26. He said, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, namely the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify about me. And you are testifying as well, because you have been with me from the beginning. Again, this is Jesus' own words. He's telling them that they are his disciples, as you and I are the disciples of Jesus now. Amen? And we have a testimony ourselves that we have to share. We have to. I hope that's your heart, that you have to share. You want to share. It's a driving force in your life. Today, I want to focus a little bit on that testimony. Yours and mine. Testimony, what does that mean? It's the evidence given by a witness. Can I have a witness? Amen. Amen. Don't raise your hand too quickly, because I'm going to ask for some testimonies today. So pray about that. You've got a few minutes. In our judicial system, you've heard or you've seen in the past, for the most part, because they don't do it completely anymore, they ask you if you want to swear on the Bible, but you don't have to. But it used to be I do swear in the name of God that what I shall state shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Why did he do that? Why did the founding fathers say that to us? Why? What was so important? Well, we know in Galatians, Ephesians also talks about you are responsible for every word, every careless word, it said even, to God. So to speak the truth in court, and we all shake a little bit when the judge is up there going, young man, what's going on? I swear to God that I will speak the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. I swear to God. And God says, don't take oaths lightly. And that's what a swearing, I swear to God. This is the truth. How many times have we said that? You know, that's your relationship with God becomes so real. I hope so. I hope you can say to that, I swear to God, this is true. And it better be true. Because he is true. The truth, so help me God. That's a testimony, an evidence of proof or provided by the existence or the appearance of something. A public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. Amen? That's a testimony. Witnessing before others to the fact that God has forgiven our sins. That's a testimony. That's your testimony, I hope. An open declaration of profession of faith in front of people and others. Telling someone else about your relationship with God. That is a testimony. Have you got yours ready? God's working in your, the Spirit's going over you. He's going, Bruce is going to ask. I think it's me. I need to go up. I need to talk. I need to tell of my Jesus. We're not going to have time for everyone. And we're not going to take numbers. And we're not going to do a lotto. But God tells you to come and talk. So keep praying. Let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Starting in verse 6. When we talk about a testimony, we're going, well, what do you mean? How does it fit? How does it work? What? This is the greatest testimony there is. Well, we'll start in verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes? 1 John 5:5. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. There are three that are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of people, the testimony of God is even greater. Amen? For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. That would be who? You and me. The one who does not believe God has made him, who does not believe, he has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. The one who has the son has the life. The one who does not have the son does not have the life. The testimony is this. He who has the son has the life. Is that you? Then you are a testimony. Do you understand that? Those in my community group, for years, and especially this year, because we're kind of refocusing on testimonies, they share a story, they share something going on, and I say, that's a testimony, that's a testimony, that's a testimony for Christ. Right, Brian? We do wonderful things, and God gets the glory. That's a testimony. And people say, "Well, I don't have any testimony. I don't know what." Are you alive? Are you breathing? You got a testimony. In fact, truly, the whole Bible is a testimony of God. It's a written testimony. The Spirit opens our eyes, our ears, our hearts to lead and to learn who He is. And as He does that, as He reveals Himself to us, it builds who we are for a testimony for Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. So get that off of your mind right now. The testimony that I want to hear, that we need to share, is who God is, how He works, what He's doing, what He's done, where we're going. Amen? We dwell too much on the past and don't talk enough about the future. You see this hand? Pastor Tim, I know you're watching. I'm learning. I love the guy. Love him. You ever watch him doing worship? He's like this. He's great. He's into it. I love the guy. The whole Bible is a testimony. John 5:32. You don't have to go there. Jesus tells of one who testifies of him who is greater. And that's John the Baptist, of course, saying, it's not me, because they were all coming to him saying, save me. What do? I need to be baptized. Not by me, by the one who is greater than me. Amen? John 8:17-18 is Jesus himself says to the Pharisees, he says, look, in your own law, it says, there are two witnesses, then it is true. Back to, I swear on the Bible that this is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He says, this is in your own law. He says, I'll give you two who testify who I am, myself and God the Father. Amen. Is there any more authority than that? No. Acts 4, the apostles have testified powerfully, it says, of the resurrection. The prophets, we're talking 1,500 years before it ever happened. They prophesied powerfully. God used them. It was written down that this is going to happen. I testify to this, the truth, I swear on the Bible. How about you? When somebody says that to you, or when you look at somebody and say, I testify. I am a witness of God and His workings for His glory. Amen? Acts 10:43, Jesus is the one the prophets testify about. Everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. That's a testimony. Point to the Bible. Bring to them to the words. The Bible's that testimony of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We testify. We speak the truth about each of them. And that testimony is a testimony in themselves. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They testify about each other. It's complete. It's always in the Bible. It goes back and forth. The Father magnifies the Son. The Son magnifies the Father. The Holy Spirit brings them all together. It's back and forth, back and forth. None are separated. Always meant together. Look to Scriptures. It's complete. It's always there. In 1978... God got my attention. You know how? Star Wars. 1978. It was a wonderful movie. I don't know if anybody likes it. It was the very first one. But God got my attention. He uses all things, right? God uses all things for his glory. This is my testimony. Don't laugh. It was the Force. The Force be with you. It's true. What? The Force? What? It's all around us. It's all powerful. It's everywhere. It's in everything. The Force is strong with this one. What? Who? Me? My roommate and I went to... show after show. It was just down the street. It was only a buck. So we went and we saw, and we had this conversation one night, and he was a devout Catholic at the time, supposedly, and he had gone through all the Catholics. And so he was telling me about God. I really didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know how it fit, how it worked. And he talked about God and the Lord and Jesus. And I'm going, but what about the Force? He says, he is the Force. And we talked about death, and we talked about, and the Lord just opened my eyes, seriously. And it was a couple months later, I was at a Hal Lindsey, I don't know if many, late great Planet Earth, we were at a evangelistic event at Life Center up in Tacoma. And he said to up there, he said, and the Lord's been working on me now. I'm starting to date Terry and think real seriously about what's going on in my life. And he says, Matthew 10:32. He gives a great sermon. Matthew 10, everyone who confesses me before men, people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Boom. I was out of my seat. I went down, I went forward, along with a lot of other people, but that was what got me up. And the Lord opened my eyes, and he talked and told me about how Jesus saves those who repent, those who ask for forgiveness. And that was the start, 1978. Salvation testimony. The one you're going to share this morning. Or it could be about God's love. That's a testimony in your life. God's peace. That's a testimony in your life. God's word, how it ministers to you. That's a testimony in your life. The trials that you are going through. That's a testimony for God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God working in me and you. It's God working around me and you. It's God working through you and me. Amen? All for His glory. So people can say, well, something, and you go, it's not me, it's God. And let me tell you about it. I can be a witness. So who has a testimony? Who will be a witness? Come on. Who's going to give me a confirmation of God? Who's going to give me a validation of God? Come on up. Come on. This isn't an altar call. This is your time. This is your opportunity. Who's going to give me a testament, a testimony, a testimony, a testimonial for God?
Do you think I really need that?
Yes. Keep it short. Remember, we're family oriented and you're on TV for millions of viewers.
I just wanted to tell you how important it is for you to listen to God in your neighborhood. Lately, He has been telling me to go on walks. And every single time, there's a neighbor I connect with and there's a reason for it. But I just want to do a testimony on how important some neighbors were in our lives. And that is Sherry's family. Was Linda and three girls. We moved there and we had not been going to church for 16 years or something like that. We just kind of cut out. And they kept on loving us and they invited us to South Pacific Baptist, which became New Life Worship. And because of that, John and I both accepted the Lord. Came forth, were baptized, and He's done an absolute work in our lives now. And Johnny came a little later. It took him a little longer. But I just wanted to tell you how important it is for you to connect with your neighbors. You know, that's a ministry too, and it's one that sometimes we forget about, especially if you're out a ways like here and you don't have neighbors that are necessarily really close to you. But the Lord is everything.
Amen. Amen. Come on, who's next? Line up. Bring them up. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Bring it up.
God is good. No matter what. I was lost for a really, really, really long time. I knew about Jesus and His love. Since I was a little boy. He led me to a job that I didn't think I needed. I didn't know why. But it was a job. And He placed me with an owner of a company who loves the Lord. And He seen that I needed Jesus back in my life. And that day I was hurt. I got hurt on the job. I took a 4-section walker to the chest. The feet, it ripped me wide open. I was gushing blood and broke a rib. And I've broken many ribs. It takes the wind right out of me. It hurts. And a man walked up to me and he asked if he could pray with me. And that was the first time I felt the Spirit in 15 years. It's hard for me to talk about because it brings me to tears because I knew that was love. I felt love for the first time in so many years. And that's all I ever wanted was love. I had amazing parents. Many of you know them. They loved me more than life. But something inside of me was broken. I didn't have God there. He wasn't there. And the absence of God, it's dark and it hurts. And you're lonely. And one day I begged for a family. He gave me a beautiful family.
Amen.
God is good all the time. Amen. And no matter what, we should give thanks. Because that's how we bring Him glory. And praise His name.
Amen.
I'm just saying, anybody that does not believe, God, I don't want to believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Testify.
My name is John Nagy. I live in Graham right over here. How many of you in here have heard the term healing and dialectic? Anybody know what that means? Create a problem, create a solution, do what you want. Well, I'll see the power isn't quite good. Well, the crisis in my life didn't go to waste. My mother died when I was 16 years old. And we all wonder how God is going to answer our prayers, or if he's going to answer them at all. But one prayer that I prayed back in 1972 was, God, if you can show me how I can know you in a personal way, if you can be known, and that I will not spend 1 second in hell, I would really appreciate that. And about 2 or 3 days later, a friend of mine I've known for years was going to Talbot Theological Seminary, we were talking about that. And he says, well, when we get down out here, come out to my car and have a talk. And went out to his car, there was a Bible sitting on his front seat. I said, oh, this would be the end of the seminary. So 2 weeks later, I was bringing in his 68-64 Chevy Nova, blue Chevy Nova, in my elementary school parking lot. For Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord and Savior. And then 2 years later, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. There is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. By faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But going forward, until now, that's what I do. I tell everybody I know.
Amen. Yeah. New life. New life. The old has gone away. The new has come. Amen. This is good. Let's keep it going. We got a few more minutes for your opportunity. The Lord's probably nudging you right now.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roy, one of your deacons here in the church. In 1968, 69, 70, 71, I was a rebel. I did what I wanted to, when I wanted to, whether anybody liked it or not. I got 21 speeding tickets in 7 days because I just didn't care. Then in 1971, some of you can remember this, they came out with a draft. It was called the lottery system. All the guys that I went around with, which they were a total of 8 of us, all of them got numbers that were up in the 300s. My number was 22. I got drafted for Vietnam. My dad, he was so against the war in Vietnam, he wanted me to give up my citizenship here in the United States and go to Canada. I wasn't going to do that. I was an American, and I was going to be an American. So I went for the draft. My dad would not talk to me for years. If the phone rang and picked it up and heard my voice, he would hand the phone to my mom and say, it's for you. He wouldn't even say anything to me. Then in 1972, I reported for the draft. I went to Fort Ord, California back then. Going through basic training was not a fun thing, but God was with me, and I didn't even know God. I had no intentions of knowing God back then, but he was with me. He helped me get through all of that. The whole time that we were going through basic training, they kept telling us, you're going to Vietnam. You're going to Vietnam. We're getting you ready to go to Vietnam. Probably 3 or 4 out of 5 of you will not come home. Okay, so we had to live with that. Then I went to my advanced training in Maryland. There again, every time we turned around, it was, we're getting you ready for Vietnam. You're going to Vietnam. Well, at the end of my advanced training, they had a big formation and we were all standing out on the tarmac, which is an airport, an airstrip. And we're all in the line. The company commander's going down through the line, he's going, you're going to Vietnam, you're going to Vietnam, you're going to Vietnam, you're going to Vietnam, you're going to Port Louis. I went to Port Louis.
Amen.
God was with me then, and God's with me now.
Amen.
If you're not a believer, come talk to some of us. We'll help you figure out whether you need to be a believer or you don't. I mean, I went through 20 years of military. I went to a lot of bad places, including the Middle East, but God was with me. God brought me home. My wife, back there, she helped me get through a lot of things as well. We got married in 1988. We have been together that whole time. I love her as much today as I did when I met her. Okay, but she helped me. And I did not become a believer in this church. Right? In 1999, we started coming to this church. As soon as we always sat in the back row, as soon as the pastor said, amen, we were out the door. Then in 2004, I was baptized because I realized that I was a believer.
Amen.
I realized that I wanted to be a believer. And from that time till now, God has been with me and worked with me. I'm a sinner. I've always been a sinner, but God has worked on my heart the whole time. Even today, He works with me. It's by His hand. I believe in God, and I know God believes in me.
Amen. Amen. Okay, one more.
Can I just stand here?
No. You're used to being up here. Yeah, he's not a public speaker, but it's okay.
I share this because living in the day and age, you are doing this is so important. I sold Margaret's car this past week. But that's not my testimony.
Sure it is.
His name is Mike, and he's a golf. Imagine that. But he came over. And he just started asking some questions. And I asked him, tell me about your story. So he just opened up. Arlene was with his girlfriend at that time, Candy, outside. And I said, well, I really appreciate your story. What about your relationship with maybe the word church? Well, I was Catholic. Oh. And then I went to the Episcopal Church. Oh. And now I'm in the Baha'i faith. Oh, really? Tell me about that. So he started to share about creation, being one with creation, and all religions go to the same place. And so that was my cue. And he said, well, what do you do for that? I said, well, I've been a minister for 45 years, then he's retired. And he said, can I ask you a question? Because everything that God did, let me make this a little short, everything that God did led up to picking fruit. And so I asked him, what is your view of religion? Well, I think all religions go to the same place. I said, let me just share with you what the truth of the Bible talks about. He said, because all religions lead to the same place. It's not salvation. But religion come short of the relationship that Jesus has.
Amen.
And I don't want to preach to you that aspect. I don't want to preach to you, but I want to tell you really something important. Before you take your last breath and you're going through cancer right now, and you're 76 years old, and you're going to see me back and forth, of course. But the main thing is, where do you stand with your relationship with Jesus Christ? And he was silent for a moment. And then he said, you know, I really appreciate you sharing your heart with me. So I had to share this because every one of you here have an opportunity to touch people's lives every single day. And you heard many testimonies right here this morning. But always start with a story. They always have a story. But always be with Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 You know, it's been said, and it's obvious for you and me, but how we live our life is a testimony of what you believe about God. Now think about that. How I live my life is a testimony of what I believe about God. It's already been mentioned a little bit about Buzz and his memorial yesterday, which was Buster Daly was a mentor of mine 45 years ago. Where the rubber meets the road, that was his favorite saying. As I even built him a trophy of a tire, and I got him a chunk of asphalt, and then we put it up on the mantle. Because he was a true straight shooter all his life. He wasn't perfect, but he was a great mentor, a great father, husband, and church leader for years and years and years. And you know what? The key is, and I've told you, I've challenged the men, he finished strong. He finished strong. He finished well. And that's a challenge I give to all of you, not just men, men and women. Finish well. You can be a great person all your life. You can praise the Lord. You can go to church and then you can lose it in a minute. Your testimony because of fall and failure. Now, nobody's perfect and God forgives you and continues to forgive you. Amen. But I want to finish strong for the Lord, for His glory. To be a witness, to be a testimony of the finish line. Buzz finished well. And that's my prayer and hope for myself, let alone for you. You know, testimonies are really wonderful, but so often our lives don't fit our testimony. So check yourself. Ask the Lord to show you, what is my testimony? How am I reflecting you, Jesus? I mean, let's get personal. Do you see Jesus in me? It's been said, you know, that you should live a life, a testimony, that people look at you and they see Jesus behind you. Amen? Through you. They want to see Jesus. And people are searching, just like Bob said. People are searching all the time. You don't even realize it. I know Lloyd tells the people at the grocery line every time he goes through. And I know a lot of you are struggling. We've struggled in our life. I mean, it's not even enough time to tell you what the last couple years have been in our lives. Most of you know our one daughter who's very ill, autoimmune, almost died 3 times, been airlifted 5 times out of California for help. Our other daughter, Ellie, with her premature baby of 3 months, premature. She's in intensive care. The baby's, Izzy's in intensive care. JC's in intensive care, all at the same time, 2,000 miles away. and it's COVID, and we can't do anything. We can't see them. We can't even go into any of them. Who do you think we were relying on? My brother died at the same time. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But you know who we went to, who we were solid with, was Jesus. The Lord, knowing he had a plan, knowing he had all this in his hands. There was nothing that was out of his control. And we rested in that. We had peace in that. And that's my prayer for you and your trials. You know, at the end of every test or trial is a testimony. Right? I'll give you another quick one. My brother-in-law, Terry's brother, he had a really rough life. He was in the middle of it, got a divorce. He was arrested, was a drug dealer, had all kinds of things going on, lost his home. Then his son was killed in a pedestrian accident in Tacoma. And we were at the funeral a week later. And he had given his life back to the Lord. And he came up to me with a smile on his face at his son's own funeral. And he said, "I can't wait to see what God's going to do next." I said, "This is your son's funeral." He goes, "God's taking care of him. God's got him." He goes, "This is part of my testimony." How can that be? John, let's go back to the book. Amen. John 21. Verse 24, John said it this way. Think about who John was, what he'd gone through. This is at the end of his life. He says, look, John 21, 24. "This is the disciple," he says, "who is testifying about these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." This is John writing it. "But there are also many other things what Jesus did, which if were written in detail, I expect that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written, nor the testimony of you and me." Now, there's probably not going to be a book written about you or me. But that doesn't stop us from the testimony of the Lord. Amen? How we live, how we respond, as a famous pastor told me one time, that's our only option, is how do we respond to what God's doing in our lives? That is a testimony. How you respond. And our prayer should be that we seek some strength and wisdom and some understanding of our lack of control and our lack of knowledge and our lack of understanding and our lack of knowing all things. Because Jesus is the one that's guiding us, and His Holy Spirit will fill you and give you the answers you need. Amen. So now, you get a chance, all of you, even those that you chickened out, Dutch, to give a testimony. How? By communion. Do this as a reminder, as a remembrance of me, a testimony of your relationship as a confirmation of our relationship with you, Jesus, as a validation, I take this in remembrance of you. A testament that I am one of His, and so are you who take part. Amen. So those that are going to serve, please come forward. Corinthians talks about this and says, for I, Paul talks about, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night that He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as a testimony to others, but as a confirmation of your relationship with Christ. Amen. Let's do this. We're going to take the bread, and then we'll pass out the juice, and then we'll take it together. Amen.